allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm going to take a roll call. Mr. Connolly?
Present.
Yes. Thank you. Mr. Connolly, Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francis?
Yep.
Ms. Kane and Mayor Nolan are both absent this evening. Mr. O'Neill, do you want to announce to the public about the sign-up sheet policy?
Oh, yeah. There's a sign-up sheet up front here, if anybody would like to sign it. Not that you have to, but that's standard procedure nowadays.
First item on the agenda is the consent agenda. We will have to remove R11-185, which requires four affirmative votes.
Okay.
And 184?
And 184.
Okay. All right. Anybody like to offer?
I'll offer.
So moved.
Got an offer in a second.
Offered by Mr. Connolly, second by Mr. Francie.
Roll call.
Mr. Connolly?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
Yes.
Motion carries. Resolution R11-184. Now, do you want to table that or vote on it separately?
Table it, please. I mean, Becky is asking and Frank agreed.
Offered by Mr. Francie to table?
Mm-hmm.
Seconded by?
Yes.
Mr. Connolly? Mr. Connolly?
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
Yes.
Motion carries. Are we going to dispense with committee reports?
Just Mr. Pfeffer.
Okay.
He came all the way here, so.
Okay, I have two things to report on, actually three. One is update on the budget, on the general budget. With some of the changes that we've discussed, some information that came from the state, we were able to reduce the tax implications of the budget by about $99,000. We're still up $313,796. We are inside both caps at this point in time. The budget is pretty much set in stone, except that we don't know what the cost of the storm is going to be. That is not in here yet. And we may have to tweak a couple of salary accounts for minor dollars that shouldn't have much of an effect on the number as it sits right now. However, a storm at this point, I don't know what the magnitude is going to be. And the other thing is we don't know what the timing of a FEMA reimbursement might be either.
Okay.
So we're going to have to go at some point in the near future with an introduced budget, in which case we won't be anticipating any FEMA reimbursements, but we will have to put the cost of the storm in, I'm sure. The second issue on the budget deals with the sewer utility, and a letter that came from the Atlantic Highlands, Highlands Regional Sewerage Authority in December of 2010 about some budget issues that they've had. And their impact on us looks to be $92,000, $93,000 additional user fees to us, which that coupled with the fact that our flow is up, our flow percentage, I don't want to say our flow, but our flow percentage compared to Atlantic Islands is up. An increase, any kind of increase on that one particular line item in our budget, which is just about our entire budget, will have an effect on the rate. And so that this part of the budget, I'm really waiting to hear what they're going to come up with. A, they can pretty much project where they think the flow will be at the end of the period that they use to make that calculation. What I haven't really gotten out of them yet is what kind of increases are they anticipating in their budget. And that would have, obviously, that kind of do the calculation. But I'm concerned because that is the major part of our sewer budget. And, you know, if there was an increase of another, let's say, 90,000 over the 90,000 that we're going to be hit with, that could be a problem for us. And the last thing that I wanted to bring up is the situation with the computer system. We need to have a decision shortly on where we're going and how we're going to finance that. I think I have recommended before that if we're going to go with the full package, which is a recommendation I think I would make, that we bond that package, but get it in place as soon as possible. Right now, we have no support on the system. We've managed to keep running, and we're doing okay. But That system was remotely backed up and is not being backed up now. We're running paper, complete trails out of there so that we have something. But we need to move on that right away.
From my point of view, I need Frank and Becky to agree that the system you're proposing is something that they're going to be happy with 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. Both of them have talked about office automation issues that we need to move ahead with. Mm-hmm. I need for them to be comfortable.
That's fine. Now, we did get 25 years out of that system, so I knew that was worth, obviously. Our systems have to be approved. Normally, the system is approved by the state. This system is in place in probably 75% of the municipalities in the state of New Jersey. And unlike any other state in the country, we have a specialized accounting system in New Jersey, probably the most conservative accounting system in the country, probably why New Jersey's municipal bond ratings are so high. So our package isn't a CAN program, can't be bought off the shelf or from one of these national companies that might have accounting packages going out to all, let's say, a big business or whatever. We're a completely different situation. So we are limited by the number of vendors who actually make software for the state of New Jersey, for municipals in the state of New Jersey. So, we need to have that discussion because we need to move quickly right. So that we have something in place. We're going to have to convert everything over. You know, that would take a little bit of time.
How come it can't be backed up anymore? I know the guy died.
Well, it's back up.
That's it?
The problem is it's old software. It's software that's been around 25 years. It's a Unix system. And it was he wrote a program to back it up directly to computers in his office.
Well, that's it.
Yeah. So, you know, it was great. We had a remote backup. You know, we didn't have to worry about that. He also set it up. He would also back it up into a separate file within our hard drive, so we had it in different places. Without him here to do that, we're stuck. So we do need to move forward. And even if we were backing it up, we have nobody to restore it.
Okay.
So we gotta move. We gotta get going on that and get this new system in place. And also, I don't know if Carolyn said, I don't remember if she CC'd everybody on the emails, but came in and looked at the hardware. And the hardware, which has nothing to do with me, my system can operate on a freestanding PC. The hardware of your network apparently is too from.
And be quite honest, this is where I want Becky and Frank to agree where we go. Because
I'm not buying, that stuff is not a part of my...
I understand that. And it's not, that's not big money. I mean, a server is $800, I think.
Oh, no.
No, this was a lot more.
Yeah, this was in the 20,000 range?
Yeah. I was asked at the last minute to get a price quote.
All right, well, we have to look into that.
They can do, the company that we're talking to can do a server that can handle my setup. About
correct.
Yeah, but that's only for me. That's not for your entire borough.
So that's why we have to talk about the bigger picture. Two other questions. Can you make sure you give me an update on the budget spreadsheets?
Yep.
Thank you. We're contemplating having to spend money on lighting for the non-memoria part of the Veterans Park. That is, lighting has been donated, the fixtures, but we're going to have to spend money on installation.
We're talking two things. We're talking the actual hardware and the construction.
The hardware has been donated, but then there's the construction and then
the ongoing build.
Well, it's... There is an ongoing bill, but at this point, it's if it's 500 watts, it's a lot. It's low.
All right. How much do you think for the other side?
Even less. I mean, these are
for the installation. Side. The installation
of it.
I'm thinking 10.
Did he ever give us a figure?
We got a figure of 11 from Soden. 11,000 from Soden.
Okay.
We're thinking we can do better than that. But my question is, we're thinking about taking this money out of the open space budget because it's dealing with open space.
Okay.
So that money has been sitting in an account. I'm hearing we have some 90 grand, give or take.
Right now, and the taxes for the I'm not sure if I moved over the levy yet for the second half of the year. Let me just look. In the open space trust fund, right now the open space, and I don't know that I moved the levy over for the second half. Like I said, I've got 68,000
okay. Right now. Not an issue as much as that money sits in the trust fund. How does that money, is that money a credit towards our surplus?
No. That is a dedicated trust that stands on its own.
So spending that money doesn't reduce the amount of money we have to raise to bring our surplus back up?
Only if you were to bring in some of that money as an offset to, let's say, to maintenance of parks or something like that.
Say that again. I'm not sure I understand.
In most of the open space referendums, and I don't have the referendum in front of me, but in most of the open space referendums, they're written to allow that the money can be used for maintenance of parks.
Correct.
Okay? If yours was written in such a fashion, then you could, let's say we had $5,000 budgeted for the maintenance of the parks.
Right.
You could theoretically use $5,000 from the open space trust to offset that $5,000 of expenses.
Okay, I've been told that we're covered, that our resolution says what we needed. It said what we needed it to say.
Okay.
So, but I was asking myself, this money is sitting in a fund. Did that count as part of our surplus? And if we spend it, do we have to make it up into the surplus? And the answer is no. It's a dedicated fund.
It's a dedicated trust. There's in the back of the regular budget, there's actually a sheet
correct
you utilize for the open space budget. It's not. I don't want to tell you that it's an authorized spending plan because it isn't. The trust itself is an authorized spending plan on its own.
I know that sheet. I just thought that those monies counted towards our surplus. Yeah. They sat there. We couldn't use them.
Right.
And you can't
just bring them in as a general revenue. Either.
Okay, fine. All right, those are my two questions. Thank you, Steve.
You good, Steve?
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. O'Neill, are we dispensing with the rest of the committee reports?
Yes, we're just going to go on to other issues here, more important than that today.
Okay, the next item of the other business, we have the slope failure.
There's some people. Sure, you may. Mm-hmm. Just have to identify yourself. Just give Mr. Pfeffer a minute to leave. If you would, please. That way he doesn't interrupt anything on the record.
My name is Kim Skorka. I live at 315 Short Drive, Unit F, and I am the secretary for the Hillside Village Condo Association. I moved in the summer of 2005. In April of 2007, we had our first slump. It was relatively minor. It blocked the creek a little bit. We did the cleanup. We asked the town council, what do we do? We're worried about the stability of the hill. Nothing they can do, private property. We went on our merry way. That was the May 16th council meeting that we went to. March 30th, 2010, there was a second, much larger slump that the current council is aware of. This one blocked the stream to the point where we were threatened with flooding. Township was nice enough to come out, cleared the drain just enough to get the water flowing so that there was no flood damage. We came to the April council meeting and said, we're really worried about this hill now. This is the second slump in 3 years. This one's much bigger. There's a deck right on the edge of the hill. There's a house right on the edge of the hill. When is this going to be in our backyard? Council members are like, oh, we were out there. It's fine. It's not coming down. Well, it didn't come down because luckily they took the deck off the back of the house. Right, as you all know, we incurred two huge, massive mud flows from this hill during Hurricane Irene. There are two units that are uninhabitable at the moment due to the amount of mud that are in these units. We've had to scramble to get the gas company out. We've had to dig out our meters. There was damage to air conditioners and fencing and patio doors. And, you know, we're suffering this damage that we have repeatedly said to the town, this is a major problem. And the town has said to us, sorry, it's private property. So our first question is, when does this become an issue where you're concerned about our personal safety? Luckily, this happened when we were supposed to be evacuated. Nobody was outside barbecuing. Nobody was enjoying the nighttime summer sky, sleeping outside. Nobody got injured.
Nobody was inside my unit because they would have been killed.
Yes. There are also people who use those rooms that face the back as bedrooms. So if it occurred in the middle of the night, they would have been injured or killed. We'd also like to know if the borough engineer has been out. We understand that we're vacations and other flooding issues, you know, personal flooding issues. Just wondering if they'll be out to inspect the hill, and also if they will inspect the unit to tell us if they're inhabitable. We're not sure if the damage to the side of 319 is just the aluminum siding that got pushed. Crossing our fingers, that's all it is. We don't know if it's damaged any of the structure. And once the engineer does come out, will we get an engineering report? Or is this going to be something that they come out, they look at it, and nothing comes of it? And I've also been told, I was not aware of this, but that there may be development on the trailer park site. And in light of this recent slump, landslide, we don't think that's a good idea.
Okay.
And I think that's about all I was asked to speak to tonight. Thank you.
Okay. The engineer who was away did go down tonight and had a look and take some pictures. I believe he's going to see about what his office can provide, because it might get into some geotechnical kind of work. And we have to see if he's prepared for that, and I believe generally not.
I'll ask that question tomorrow.
He'll ask that question tomorrow, and then we'll see how we have to go from there as far as that. What was the next one? Whether it's inhabitable at the construction.
Yes. Is that the construction department?
Has it been cleared? None of the dirt or anything's been cleared, no? My guys were down there already the first day. The building official and the code enforcement official. They have taken pictures. They were inside one of the units, not the end unit, the one next door to it.
That was our unit. Your
unit. Okay.
We showed them the damage from that.
All right. I haven't cleaned out my unit.
Okay, you have to wait.
Okay.
You knew, you have to be recognized and say your name and all that kind of stuff. Okay, just because it's recorded. How are we going to handle this, Michael?
Well, I think it's two phases from my point of view. First is immediate phase, which is seeing what has to be done to stabilize the hill immediately. And then secondly, long term. I only want to speak to the first phase right now because we don't have any of the engineering reports. But
right. As
far as habitability, I think the first step is the engineer looks at the hillside, and if he determines that, or not the engineer perhaps, but someone the engineer hires who has that expertise, that it is relatively stable, then at that point, the association together with the town, code enforcement, or not code enforcement, but building inspector, would make a determination as to whether the units are habitable. As far as, you know, cleaning up back there, that's something that has to be determined by the association as to what they're going to do. Do you agree at that stage?
Yeah, right now, we're just looking to see what the hillside is in its current state. And that's what the task we've been charged with tonight. Long term, a different story. It depends on how the borough wants to go from that point forward. And then, like you said, it's a matter of cleaning the unit. I think the construction official gets back involved again with response to the issue about the siding, and whether it's just a siding or something else beyond. I think that's more going to fall under the construction official again. And the reason being is if it is an issue like that, then there may be a condemnation of the house. They may, you know, have to deem it inhabitable. I can't speak on his behalf. And the long term, like I said, it depends on how things get handled from there with the property owner, so on and so forth.
So I think the immediate question is that Tim and the construction officials, building inspectors, will go out if they need to go out, if they may have already been in the process of generating some type of report that will also combine with whatever the engineer determines, and a decision will be made at that time.
No, he requested, he's already, I still need, he actually wrote a memo about requesting another evaluation.
The building inspector did?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we need access to that corner building. I guess that's yours?
Yes.
A Coast Guardman has lived there? Is that the house? Was a Coast Guard guy living there?
Yeah, a Coast Guard. I
okay, that's the house. Okay. Okay. We're going to need access.
If it helps, I mean, I told a bunch of people, because I went through this whole thing myself. My property got condemned, and I had to leave for 8 months. And they never, I know you kind of characterized them as saying, well, it's fine. I don't know if I wasn't here when it was, it was fine.
Right.
It is really hard. I mean, same thing, I had the exact same situation. I was one property owner, and the property owner above me built, and that collapsed, and it took, I tried everything, trying to get the town to do something for me. And they basically said, our hands are tied. And now that I'm up here, I'm seeing it's not easy. It's not like we can just go and say, fix it. And I said, it was a lawsuit that went on for 11 years. And I had to move out of the house and basically paid my mortgage on it. Never got that money back. So it wasn't a good scenario. And the fix is possible. I mean, what they did, fixed it. It's extremely expensive. It's not like people are ignoring you. It's just a very difficult situation.
I understand.
Okay, hang on a second, Sarah. Everybody's going to have a chance to speak on this issue here. That's why we got rid of the other reports.
Oh, and a lot of people have asked me what lawyers I use. I was very hard finding lawyers in New Jersey who know much about this. I went through three. From big firm to smaller to little guy who was just nice, but he even said it's over my head. And I wouldn't recommend him. But he's a nice guy.
Yes?
My reason for going through this timeline is to show that we have been proactive as an association alerting the township to this issue. And at this point, I should have put in my notes, I don't believe it's just our hillside. I heard the hillside behind another townhome complex who have a retaining wall had a slide that just skipped the retaining wall right into the second floor.
Yes, that did happen.
There's the townhouses by the bridge, they had a small slump. You know, I'm sure there's other areas maybe where people don't really look out the window or it's behind trees so they can't see. I think this hillside's coming down. And a lot faster than the town may think it is.
It's not clear. I mean, it's all private property. I don't know how we can help you. I honestly, as much as we want to, as much as we want to, I mean, we could condemn the upper properties. I mean, it gets crazy.
Don't say that we can, because we don't know if we can.
Correct.
You know, I myself would tend to think to do it right, you would need soil borings and architectural or geotechnical kind of studies and things like that.
And permission from the upland property owners to let you go do that. Right. We've already tried that.
Even with, you know, even with what we're going to like to say, send Dale out and some of his guys, you know, whether they have access to the stream. The other side is private property there that I don't know that will. I could call him and ask him if he'll allow us on it, but that's all I can do.
Is this not considered an emergency situation where lives and property are in danger?
Well, that's what we're looking into.
Or you can just say, oh, please, you know, for the safety of everybody involved, we need access to your property to do this test. Is this not?
That's phase one. Yes. I think if a property owner, an upland owner, refused access, I think we could get access if we had to. Okay? But you have to understand that even assuming access, okay, even assuming that the town's engineers or whoever gets hired determines that there's a problem and a fix, then the town can't do the fix. The town can only try to force landowners to do the fix. I think that's what Councilman Francie was getting at, which is that I said earlier in this conversation is that the town's role is more as a facilitator than a participant. And I think what we're trying to do is gather information to facilitate as best we can.
Okay.
But the initial answer is yes, we want to make sure that there is no imminent hazard, and we can't do that without access, and I think if push came to shove, the property owner refused us access. Well, under these circumstances, he'll have to give us access. But we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Okay.
There is one another aspect to that One of the property owners, 315C, Valerie McGee?
Yes, my neighbor.
I'm sorry?
She's right next to me.
Okay. She called me about asking for permission to remove, she believes there are three trees that are imminently, that...
Yeah, so our two units, at least, yes.
Right. And I've given her Mr. Rowan's contact information and directed her to ask for permission to go on his property to remove the trees, but he has to grant that permission. The other thing we're doing is T&M is going to look at whether the trees are themselves an imminent failure point, and maybe we can act on the trees on that basis. But this is...
Are you going to cut the trees if they give you access to them? Okay, I'm just asking. Just...
The root systems of these trees are exposed. They're already starting to shift a little bit.
Right.
I think it's... I boarded my patio door up after the hurricane because these trees are coming down. It's just a matter of time before they end up in my house.
Valerie said she was going to take the trees down if given permission.
Yes. So.
Okay. We should have a... if you want... I'll offer this. We should have a tree cutter come in to do a cleanup by the pile of brush across the street from your house. I think, what's today? Wednesday? Tomorrow or Friday. Maybe you might want to ask him for his opinion on it.
Okay.
I know he does a lot of the high work in Atlantic Islands and along Navasink River Road and get an opinion. His name is Mike. I'll tell you that he's coming.
Okay.
I'll tell him that somebody from your organization might ask him just for an opinion. Is that all right?
That would be fantastic.
Okay.
It's going to be problematic getting a boom truck back to reach that tree because the space between the buildings is...
I don't think so. We had an excavator to dig out the gas meters behind 319, and he got right between my unit and...
These
boom
trucks
that's why
are
I'm suggesting
bigger.
You asked Mike if he could get that truck in there.
These boom trucks are probably twice as big as that excavator and require footprints twice as wide as they are just for stability. So it's...
But if you ask him, he'll tell you what he can do and what he can't do. Okay, and I'll speak to him tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. You have more than those two questions, I think, though. I just don't remember the rest of them.
I think my multiple questions all cover multiple questions on one area, which was the engineering, how long did it look for, that...
I think what you will get is you will get a scenario of what the gentleman from T&M saw and what they think. A full-blown engineering report? No, because I don't think if we don't have the geotechnical guys to provide that with you, we won't be able to. Okay?
But when I say report, I mean just something that says we came out, this is what we saw, this is what we think. You know,
I believe Mr. Parker brought the FEMA people down.
I believe
Saturday or Sunday.
Yes.
I believe because he has your place listed along with the Captain's Cove Marina where tragedy has happened. And I believe that he was bringing those people to that site. I'll have to ask him, but I think that did happen. Did you want to ask a question, ma'am, or speak?
Yeah, I'm the owner of 319B, and I got the brunt.
Okay, just your name and...
Jean Rich.
319 Bay.
Mm-hmm. R-I-C-H. And there's a lot of dirt back there. I know you said you're not responsible for removing the dirt, but I'm being asked to remove it from my unit so as not to damage my neighbor's unit,
mm-hmm.
319A. And what I wanted to know is, where can I put the dirt?
Generally, you have to run the dirt out.
Put it on top of the pile in the back.
Can I put it to the right as you're looking, facing at my unit? Can I put it to the right of the unit? I mean, is there anybody who can put something there so I can put the dirt in and take it away?
You're not shoveling the dirt, are you?
Yeah.
I mean
they had
a
backhoe, but they didn't come back into near my unit to, you know, you didn't really bring it in all the way.
Well, whose unit is the tree leaning up against?
That is 315C. That's the different building.
That's the stump, right? The stump is against the
yes.
building. The tree went down bottom first.
Right.
Okay.
I have, Okay. My recommendation is if either hire someone or get a lot of volunteers and bucket for feed as your neighbor did. I'm willing to get in there with a shovel and a bucket.
Well, I'm waiting for the insurance. I have insurance, but I don't know if I'm covered. They have to determine whether I'm covered, and that's what they're doing. The adjuster was out this week. They haven't made a determination.
Okay.
It's Chubb Insurance. It's a good insurance sure company, but I don't know if I'm covered.
Landslides are a problem.
Yeah.
Mine didn't get covered.
Hopefully they'll do something for me, but I have no idea. I know there's structural damage because I see the beam. There's actually a beam that's coming in, you know, the corner of the building.
Right.
The beam's coming in.
Okay.
But you're telling me there's definitely nothing you can do but taking the dirt away from the backyard either?
Pretty much, no, right?
It's association dirt at this point. It's
well, it's
not
still tough.
Well, yeah, and that's
it was.
And
that was. Ask him if they want it back.
Yeah.
It's not town property. The town, and frankly, I couldn't advise the town as much as we would all want to. Legally, town can't come on your property to clean that up. Work it out with the association and put it aside somewhere, and then there's going to be a long-term solution at some point as to where to take it. But at least to get it out of your unit, add it to the pile, I would say. I mean, the town...
Yeah, I mean, wheelbarrows, I have to go get a couple wheelbarrows and do it that way.
Is the parking lot at the, what is that, Marine Manor?
Ferry Landing?
Yes, that's still flooding?
I know they were pumping out the water, but...
Right at the parking lot.
But the clay is very heavy. It's blocking their drains. I've given them the contact information for the insurance adjuster for Hilltop, just so they can also call him and see about getting here.
Hilltop is the place
Hilltop
above.
Is, yep.
What's the place next to yours? What's that?
Ferry Landing.
Ferry Landing. Okay.
But Hilltop's taking responsibility for the slide.
So they say.
Responsibility.
Oh, have
the
they?
Slide. They had an adjuster out there, so. You're supposed to take the dirt.
That's
away,
very
that
good
correct?
News.
You have that in writing?
Don't say that. But since that's the thought, they'll be taking the dirt away. And I would tend to think they would come in with a machine
sure
and do that.
It would be nice for them to do it
immediately. Right. At this point, the only thing the association can say, which will back up the council, is that you need to remove the dirt from your unit so that it can be properly evaluated. And at this time, we suggest you just put the dirt on the pile. Whether it's in the back or around the side where John was dumping the dirt from 319A, mm-hmm. just add to the pile out back.
All right.
Okay, because there's still a question of the stream. The stream still has to be opened up to drain all the water.
Yeah. Oh, that pile that came down? Yes. Yeah,
that block, I know, it's blocked, and now part of it's going in the parking lot. The other part is pretty much stagnant. And beside, behind the first set of houses, it's not flowing at all. I think it's just rising. Because I don't think it has access to the bulkhead there.
Correct. There's just one other thing I wanted to bring up. The value of my property has significantly dropped.
I have to think so.
Thank you. my tenant moved out. I refunded the security deposit. They're afraid to move back in even after I get it fixed. Everybody in town knows my unit was damaged. Mm-hmm. I see people looking at it. People even went into my unit. It was unsecured, and they went in and looked. It has a stigma on it. I don't know if I'll ever be able to rent it. I bought the unit a number of years ago and lived in it with my husband. He passed away. And what I did is I moved into the second home that we had.
Sure.
I made that my first residence. And rented this one out.
Miss, you don't have to explain yourself to us. You know, we understand.
I'm paying a mortgage now on it with nobody in there to pay my expenses. So, you know, I'd like this to get fixed as soon as possible. You know, if there's possibly a tax abatement that could be given to me.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Valueless. And when they bring in the new station to look at it, everyone in the state's going to know about it.
Okay, well, I guess you spoke to Mr. Hillen. You're going to send a letter in?
I appreciate your phone call.
Okay, and we'll...
She submitted one letter tonight, and she's going to submit a letter to Mr. Heck as well.
Okay, and then we'll submit one to the guy at the county, Matt Clark. He's in charge of that. We'll send him a copy. He's like Charlie Heck, our guy's boss.
Right. I was going to address a letter to tax assessor.
Yeah, that would be Mr. Heck. Yeah, do that. She wanted to do a separate letter.
Okay. Okay. No, that's more than reasonable.
Yeah.
I don't know what we could do, but yes.
Right.
Do that.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Sir?
Hi, my name is John Murray, and I'm adjoining Gene 319A.
Right.
The question came up about, you know, tax relief or anything like that. So I'd like to know what we should be doing then. Is there some relief possible? Who should
we that we don't know, and I imagine this lady's first, her letter is going to see where we can go with that.
Okay.
You know, we can inquire. I have no problem with that, but I don't know how it works.
That's what we're going
to
do.
Okay. Yeah. Mr. Hill's suggesting that each of the owners, unit owners, send a letter to Mr. Heck.
He's our tax assessor.
And maybe the association could do the same thing as a
okay.
unit.
And that'll be a starting point, you know. And then we'll follow up with
what
Mr.
can
Heck
and can't
and
be
what
done.
We can do.
I don't know.
Is the address here?
Yes. 171 Bay Avenue. 171 Bay Avenue, yes.
What's Mr. Heck's first name?
Charles.
Did you say each individual unit owner has to do this?
Wouldn't hurt, right?
Okay.
Your tax bills are separate.
Yes. Okay.
See, Mr. Heck sort of like works for us, but he doesn't report to us. Okay. He reports to the county guy. That's how that works, right, Mike?
Yes, that is correct.
He works for a man named Matt Clark, who's the head of taxation in the county. Probably send a letter to him, too.
What was his second name? I'm sorry.
Clark. Matthew he's at Clark. The county.
Matthew Clark is the county. Yeah, he's not an assessor. His title is.
I don't know what
commissioner.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner. He's the only one out there, so they'll know. He carries a. He throws a pretty wide shadow.
I'm sorry. Kathleen Murray.
Sure.
I know you said that you cannot get involved. Personal property, and I just find it odd that if I needed to build something on my property, I would need to get your permission to do so.
Uh-huh.
But yet, when we're asking for help to at least not remove the stuff, but to kind of give a forcing hand to up the hill, because today there was a ton of rain.
Right, right.
Even though we cleared out one unit, we boarded up the door, we tried to do everything to prevent further damage. We can't move the dirt, but now there was more silt coming down. I know it's not true mudslide, but then there's cooling water coming down the hill, added to the creek that's already backing up. And I just find it a little frustrating that there's nothing you can do, yet if I wanted to do something on my own, I need to get your approval.
We're going to see what we can do with Mr. Lubner and his guys and the building officials and see what can be done. Like, oh, come on, sure, everybody's name. Mr. Halfacre said, we're overseers, not participants?
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Facilitators.
We want to do whatever we can, but it's very difficult to force one property owner to do something to benefit essentially a neighbor. We can, in the interest of safety and the public welfare, but we have to be able to, you know, dot our I's and cross our T's to get there.
I know that. And I know in January when we're meeting with the that was here, the town said that, you know, the hill wasn't in any imminent danger of it coming down for at least 5 years. And now it has. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's just, I'm concerned that we're coming down to more.
Oh, I'm sure. Miss, I own property right on top of that hill, same way, just a different location, just here. And I think about it all the time. When I was on the roof of Manalapan High School in the rain yesterday, I was thinking about that, your property. And my own too, you know, it makes you wonder. But we'll do what we can, you know, we have to start there, I guess.
Okay. And then I think, just I'm sorry, the other thing Kim, that we want to bring up was the building that they want to do in front of East Point. We can save that for last. Let's do the current thing first, but the building in front of East Point.
I did mention, is that a trailer park?
Yeah. There's no...
That's a whole different agenda.
I don't
agenda.
Anything on that right
yeah.
now.
Okay.
Yeah. Sir?
I'm Brian Weinstein from 317C, I'm the president of the board.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, we don't own the creek, okay, but it is a drainage system through the town from properties along there that drains into your system. Is that correct?
I guess so.
It's currently blocked. Isn't there some obligation to at least for you to come out and unblock that so the drainage from all those properties, not just ours, but everybody in town that drains through that area down that hill, at least clear the drainage out from our two slides there so we have water flow back through there so we don't have we don't get flood damage now. That's the only thing we don't have is flood damage.
I don't know.
There's probably almost certainly an obligation for the town to do that, but we don't want to do that if it further destabilizes the slope, and that's what our engineers are going to tell us.
This isn't on the slope. This is at the bottom where the creek is. This
yeah.
is the slope.
Yeah, but that's where all the dirt is. That's the toe of the slope right there.
Correct.
Right. We need to, we'd like our engineers to tell us if it's okay to do that.
Okay, are they looking at that, though? Because what you were
they're
saying,
going out
are
the
they
water.
Looking at just the stability of the hill, not whether they can open that area up. We do need that area open for drainage. Otherwise, we're eventually going to have the property for the flood.
I have a question.
We'll have them look, sir. We'll have them look at it tomorrow.
Just to follow up, is there any way the township, maybe in the interim, can come pump out some of the water? Just so that in the ensuing days, as it's raining, it might mitigate the potential flooding?
What do you think?
I don't know where the water's pooling, you know what I mean? I mean, I was there today, I drove by myself on my way here.
Oh, you have
here.
To get out of your car and look, it's in the back, and it's just a little bit below the grade of the grass.
We could probably ask the fire company to go.
That's looking at the hill to the left side.
There's a pool between the big slump at 319 and the tree slump at 315. That's pretty much where it's mostly pooling. I haven't been to the other side in a couple of days, the other side of the tree slide, so I'm not sure if it's pooling over there.
Well, I know it's in the parking lot next door. The parking lot's flooded. I couldn't see anything else.
I don't know if Ferry's Landing in the past few days have had a pump, and they are pumping the water out. I don't know if they still are, though.
They still are, but it's not going as... It's just too much water.
Okay, I don't know if we have anything that'll handle it. I'll have to say.
I mean, if we did ask the fire company, they must... I'm sure they have pumps that they use to...
Yeah, but they don't draft that water like that.
No?
No. If they draft out of the river, they draft out of a pipe made specially for that.
You need a draft.
You need like a trash pump. Yeah.
Right.
I doubt we have that.
We'll look at it.
Okay.
The engineer will make a recommendation if we have the equipment.
If at the point in time our engineer feels that water flow that can be dug out to allow the water flow back through the two slump areas, what are we looking at time-wise for that to be done? In other words, when is he going to get a report in? When is the decision going to be made? Do we have to wait for another meeting, or will he?
No, I would tend to think that we would have that before a meeting, but we don't have a machine that could go back there and dig that out either.
You don't have a backhoe?
Yeah, but you're not doing that with a backhoe. It's too wet. That backhoe would be stuck in there. You need a track machine.
We already
had
a machine back there.
In the ditch? You didn't have it in the creek. I know you didn't.
I'm in construction. You don't have to be in the stream to dig out
okay.
the flood.
All right.
Set it on the bank next to it and scoop it out. I mean, it's...
On the bank where all the dirt's behind your houses? And then what are you going to do with the dirt?
You put it back on the property where it came from.
All right.
It's got to be somebody's obligation besides ours. We don't own the creek. We don't own the drainage system.
Well, I don't know if the borough owns the creek or the drainage system either.
It does not.
I would tend to think that
belongs to the upland property owner. We went through this the last one.
I thought actually waters like that are owned by the state.
Yeah, as a town, you're relying on that for drainage from properties in your town. Isn't that correct?
Okay.
The apartments next to us and all the people down that end of town. Along that hill, all drains through there and then drains into your storm system. Further down, beyond the
right, right between your two buildings.
Correct.
But that doesn't make the town responsible for those that ditch going either way along
so
the back of those properties.
No one's in charge of the maintenance at this point.
No.
Okay.
This we've debated this for years about that. You know, is if whose creek actually is it?
And
is it the homeowner's creek? Is it the town's creek? You know, whose creek is it? Is it state creek?
The last storm, I mean, I'm going to say it was a year ago, we went in and blew out that drain. Mm-hmm. And that drain is your property. And we were criticized by our attorney that we shouldn't have done that. All right. We had to do it because it was an emergency.
Different attorney.
We had to do it because it was an emergency, but the reality is that it was your responsibility. So it's a very, very murky situation.
And we'll do what we can.
I don't know who owns
that.
The stream either.
I have no idea who owns the stream. But I don't believe the town owns the stream.
You're not responsible for your storm system within the town?
In the street, in the public property, we are not in the private.
Yeah. That stream belongs.
We're not responsible for that.
That swale belongs.
Somebody builds a house up a hill, but don't they have to put in proper drainage when they build a house for the property?
Sure.
Well, then that cliff, that hill.
But that's not necessarily that cause that was improper drainage from the top.
My research over the past few years, that creek is considered a body of water and it is owned by the state.
Okay.
It's not ours. It's not the people at the top of the hill. It's not the townships. It's owned by the state. The DEP supposedly controls it. Trying to get them out here for that small body of water doesn't work. They won't come unless you
put a backhoe in that body of water and it might work.
The only time we were able to get them to come out is that over the summer we thought it was stagnant. It might be a mosquito breeding ground. They came out, they tested it. It was not. The drainage that comes into this, I believe, is fed by a natural spring. It should not be fed by any gutters or drainage system off of somebody's property. You know, their sump pumps and whatnot should all be going street and to the other side.
Let me hasten to say this is Ms. Sikora's opinion, and that does not mean it's
actual
correct. And we've had different opinions other than that. It is not state waters as it shows up on the maps. So,
anybody else about this? No? Okay.
Item on the agenda is Bayside Drive Project. Mr. Hill?
I'm going to defer. Do you have the item?
Yeah. I do have the item.
Just to follow up with the roof construction. It was in the packets.
Yes.
Well, you have to negotiate with Rue at this point.
Well, basically, if I can speak.
Right. I'd like to defer this.
Basically, what we were asked to do is provide the borough with a proposal to reconstruct a portion of Bayside Drive between Marie and Matthews. Basically, that area includes the area that Rue fixed on Exxon's behalf. Also, it was a little bit of a larger area. As their trucks and their equipment and everything were on the road, did some damage. It would be like a better term of neighborly thing for them to do. At that time, it was discussed that Exxon might foot the bill for the design and construction of the roadway. Acting as your engineers, you know, working directly for you, we submitted a proposal to you for you to submit to Exxon or however you want to handle it to facilitate this project. Now, I know Rue has expressed interest in doing the project.
My understanding is Rue was going to be paying for your design efforts.
I don't think Rue would as a contractor.
Exxon was going to pay for your design efforts.
We were hoping. They didn't say.
Right, but I don't think that was set in stone yet. But that was my understanding, too. That's where that was going.
All right, so that report has to be given to Rue/Exxon.
Maybe we get it directly to Exxon. Exxon and Rue.
I will send it to Jackie Fawcett, and that's the Exxon contact. And,
okay.
We'll go from there.
We had a similar situation on Hillside years ago when New Jersey American kind of did the same thing when they ripped up our road and everything else. It was the same type of scenario.
Okay. We know, from my point of view, I think it was a $700,000 project.
This project here?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't that much. It was 600 feet. Total project cost, design, construction, permitting, soil erosion, and so on and so forth, was about $328,000.
Okay. It's not clear what Exxon is going to pick up.
Correct.
And that's the key.
Right.
So we just basically want authorization. We're going to send this to Exxon.
Fine.
Exactly. Now, just I'm going to tell you up front, just before warning, I mean, Rue was going to call me, pushing for this. I will not give him a copy of this. I didn't think it was my duty to do that. Rue was asking if this road can be done for about $30,000, which tells you they don't do road work. I mean, it's nowhere near what the cost is.
They're saying 30 and you're saying 300?
Right. Yes.
Well, they're also saying a limited piece of it.
Actually, no. The gentleman from Rue, I told him the limits. He goes, we can do it for about $30,000. I said, you're not even close. So my concern is, being your roadway, I definitely want to make sure your interests are protected in this.
Okay. That's why I think we should get it directly to Exxon. If you want us to copy Rue.
No.
I would prefer just directly Exxon and let Exxon and Rue hash it out. I don't think we need to be involved with Rue at this point.
Okay. Arnie Fugue, Did he leave?
Mr. O'Neill?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Lubin wanted to know if we can add one item to the agenda, which was the DOT grant.
Right. Last meeting we talked about, for this meeting, having a road picked out for the municipal aid
right,
grant.
That's right.
I've got to move on that. That's due, I believe, the 20th or the 23rd. So I'm looking for some direction tonight, what to go, you know, what road to use.
Did you suggest the end of Shore Drive?
I suggested Shore Drive. Mr. Francie had discussed Valley. I never did get a determination from the state. I followed up with them again today on whether that is a feasible project. But I would say, you know, those are two viable, in my mind, what we could submit for, pending what the state goes back at. If there's any other options or if there's another flavor at the table, I'd like some direction if we are going to make an application this year.
We're not tying this in with the Highland Avenue Road project? Or we have everything covered?
You've got Woodland, which is Upper Miller. It comes down to Highland. That's DOT last year. Highland Avenue is discretionary DOT. Bay Avenue, your portion of Bay Avenue by Huddy going down towards Gravelly, that's DOT 10. DOT 9, they did fund a portion of Shore Drive from Miller to Waterwich, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking to maybe extend that, considering they funded that in the past. That's not saying they won't do Valley. They funded drainage on Valley before, the discretionary and the unapproved portion. I just need a direction which way to go so I can get this application submitted.
Weren't we looking at Upper Valley and Bay Street?
Well, that's part of the road program.
That's part of the other road program.
Right. The state shot us down on Upper Valley once already.
Okay.
On Lower Valley, the one you're considering, is that going to be a problem down the road if we do the drainage?
Sure it is.
Well, you'd have to tie the drainage in at the same time. You know, you'd have to do the drainage as you do the road.
Okay, so, and that wouldn't be covered with this.
I'm asking the state for determination. In the couple years past, they've been kind of frowning upon a lot of towns have been doing drainage projects, and like the road is a secondary piece of it, and they're trying to get away from that. I'm trying to explain to them that the road's in bad shape.
Because
of the pipe, and you know, if you're ripping the road up, you want to fix the pipe too at the same time. So that's why I'm trying to approach it with them. I just haven't gotten an affirmative determination yet as to whether they would be on board with that type of project.
And this project has a higher urgency because it's clear that we have to be jetting out the road more frequently than we have been. And that...
I agree. They'll do that.
Huh?
I think it's a more important sign.
And whether they pick it up or not, we might have to do this pipe...
Well, eventually, yes.
Separate from the flood control project. It has its own urgency because of the monies we're spending every quarter to keep it clear. That's what's driving this. Okay.
So can we get that pipe fixed before the road project will become due?
Well, what I'm trying to do is get the state to fund. The state won't fund the whole road. I mean, they never do. They fund me a nice portion of it. But I'm trying to make it as one project where they'll fund, you know, say if the project comes out to say $300,000, you know, they'll fund $200 of it. $250 of it, and kind of minimize your portion, your cost of it. That's what I'm shooting for right now. And as we do it with Bay Avenue,
they didn't
fund the entire road. We got CD to fund the other portion. Don't know if CD would be in tune with this portion of Valley, but we could always phase it too. It's like we did with Washington. We phased that. You know, they wouldn't fund the whole thing at once. We phased it so we're able to get in two rounds of money for it. So that's kind of what I'm looking for tonight, just some direction so I can get an application submitted. And move forward with it.
What's your pleasure, fellas?
Well, if you're the town engineer, what would you do first? That sounds like Valley.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, both are good candidates. I mean, Shore Drive is a simple mill and overlay. Valley, Mr. Francie is absolutely correct that the pipe's shot. I mean, we've known the pipe's got issues. It's grading issues for the road. That's another viable candidate, too.
Did you come up with a cost, roughly, for that?
It's $579.
Somewhere there. I'd have to
that was complete soup to nuts.
Yeah.
And all the work is done, so your application is more straightforward.
Right. The actual work, the drainage work is done. We would look at the road more to see if there's something else that needs to be done with that road for the state to fund it. You know, and then Shore is just like I said, it's a simple, you know, mill overlay base repair like the first portion was. It depends which way you want to go with this. Both roads can definitely use it. Both projects, in my mind, are, you know...
Do we answer next meeting?
...are worthwhile. What's that?
No, we answer next meeting.
I kind of have this in probably before the next meeting, right?
I'm in a quandary. One lives on Valley and one lives on Shore, man.
That's right. I don't know.
Well, I'm going to bow out of the discussion because of that, from that point of view. I certainly can't vote on it, in my mind.
It's your time.
What would I do?
Oh, that's great.
I would do Valley.
I actually think Valley's not a bunch.
Valley, because of the pipe, is to me is a more of an urgency.
Well, there you go. That's the answer.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's, like I said, sure. You know, right now, sure, you could do a millet overlay and save yourself a possible reconstruct down the road. But I think as you're talking 2011 today, I think Valley is more of the urgency of the two.
All right.
What I would say submit for is maybe, you know, the lower end there from, say, fifth of the bank, because if you're going to rip the pipe, you want to start the lower end anyway.
There is no other, what other part is there?
Well, the other side of Bay up to shore.
Bay up to shore, the little section.
That's another 200 feet.
That's where the problem is, right? The pipe at that section.
Well, no, the pipe is clogged between fourth and Bay.
So I was going to say, I can submit for the whole, I can submit for the whole thing from say, fifth to shore, and then we can pair it back later.
Yeah, our cost estimate is from fifth to shore.
I can certainly
from fifth to shore.
I can certainly do that. And then
579.
I can submit for the whole thing, and then if we need to pair it back, you know, we can. The state's been favorable about doing that.
All right. Is Arnie back? No. No, you're not on the list. Kim?
I'm
Okay. Jeannie Rich?
I already.
Okay. John? John Bentham?
Yeah, John Bentham, 39 Washington Avenue. I have several concerns and questions regarding the bulkhead collapse at the Scope Marina along Washington Avenue, as do several of the residents in the area. You're all aware we had two huge sections of the bulkhead collapse during the hurricane. And since then, the erosion along there continues to the point where it's now involving the roadway, and the roadway is slowly collapsing. I sent a photo to Councilman Connolly showing that now, right next to the sanitary sewer line, the collapse is within like 2.5 and 3 feet. And the erosion continues pretty much on a daily basis. Sinkholes all over the place. It's basically just a disaster. What I wanted to know, however, is why the town isn't moving in to secure the roadway and the utilities underneath the roadway.
Okay. We discussed that tonight. We're sending the T&M guys down there. We already had a prelim down there. You saw us with the engineers.
Right.
The owner told us he was going to take certain positions, make certain changes in order to secure the bulkhead and pull it back up, whatever. We addressed that with his agent, the contractor, and T&M guy and myself. That was given a shot, and right now I'm not sure where it was because I haven't been able to get down there. Okay? Dale's back in town. He's going to go have another look at it, and we're going to see if we have to come up with a temporary fix on our own. We have to secure the sewer line.
Right.
And the road.
Right. The other concern I have is I understand that the report from T&M made a couple of recommendations. One of them was that the roadway should basically be closed off to any vehicle or pedestrian traffic to that side of the marina. But at this point, that's not happening.
Right. It's not happening because the construction was going on right there. I thought that was going to be fixed.
More along there, people are like going in and out like nothing's going on.
Okay.
The vehicles that are coming down the end of the street along the marina. And that's contrary to what I understand the recommendation.
Well, it's closed by your corner, and it's closed up the other. It's closed on all the streets, aren't
it? Right, but my understanding of the report said is there shouldn't be any access to that side of the marina, pedestrian, vehicle, or otherwise, because of the potential for further collapse there. So that's why I said that's something that's going to be a post-mort right there.
I understand that, but you can't close the street off so people can't get to their houses.
No, I understand that.
And I haven't seen any. Well, when I was there, nobody had parked there from your corner down to the end of the street.
Right. I mean, my concern is just the potential to aggravate the problem.
Absolutely, and that's what we have the guys here to come and look at a fix. I have a letter here. I guess I just got it now from Mr. Rosiak's engineer. Coming up. I'm just reading it. That's what I was doing. Of some suggestions that they're looking to do. It says we are proceeding to move forward with plans for the bulkhead repair. So he seems to be doing what he has to do. He's here now. I don't know if he wants to speak. to let us know what exactly is going on, but if he wants to, he's welcome to. Do you have any other questions? Would you like to?
Sure, if you want me to. Basically, I think the engineer's letter spells it out better than I can describe. They've been on the site and developing plans to fix it since, it's all a spin now in my head, to be honest with you. But I think since the day of our meeting, Ricky, we've
right.
been here. And we've moved forward with that. As part of that, they've detected several issues that need to get resolved before we can really move forward to stop putting any kind of a permanent new bulkhead in place. And so at least according to the engineer, he needs to hear back from work people regarding those issues.
Okay.
Mr. Brennan has done what he can do to stabilize that as best we can. This rain is just obviously making it even more miserable for everybody, including that project. I wish I could control that or something. But we're, as soon as some of these issues are cleared up, as you mentioned,
have you abandoned attempts to pull it back?
We haven't abandoned anything.
Okay.
Mr. Brand had a funeral.
Okay. No, that's fine. Yeah.
No. We're all in agreement that it has to be done as swiftly as possible.
Absolutely. And certainly, our goal is to finish getting things squared off long before any winter season or that kind of hurry.
Yes, sir.
Comments that it's going to be next year or whatever. Now, we're set to move immediately as soon as we get the right things straightened out.
Have you spoken to FEMA directly?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. I was told by FEMA that FEMA has provisions for helping counties, municipalities, schools, even, and individuals. But as far as businesses go, you have to be part of the infrastructure of a town to do that. So it would need us, namely the council and Marina, talking to them about protection and reports to the neighborhood and the infrastructure for them to even consider. I filed and was told that basically they'll be happy to talk about my house being flooded and my cellar being flooded, but that the private business, the best thing to do is suggest a small business administration, which if any of you have had experience with that, that's really no great anything. So.
Okay. Dale has your a copy of your engineer's letter. I'm telling you. He has one tonight. He'll review it and come up with some game plan. And I have a picture in my mind of your guy hooking up with my guy.
Great.
And seeing what, I guess that would be appropriate, Dale?
Sure.
And seeing how things go.
Is that going to be something you can put on the front of your burner?
Or sure, oh, absolutely.
Everyone's asking you to do it.
He has no other burner. He has no other burner.
That's the hottest burner right now.
He was down in Florida while all this was happening, and he has to make up this lack of it.
Right away, it's got to come to that.
Engineer's evening.
Okay. I have are you okay, John? A Patty from 317 A Shore Drive. I don't know what the last name, I can't read it.
Peterson.
Peterson, would you like to speak?
It's been addressed.
Okay. Is there anything else going on? What?
Somebody else has come in.
Okay. Brian. Sir? Yeah, Brian, you came in late.
Yeah, Brian Scott, Leverton Recreation Place. I just wanted to add to the comments of John Bentham regarding the marina and also Mr. Rosiak, the owner of the marina, about the issues there. I was happy to see Mayor Nolan out Monday afternoon after the hurricane at the marina. It was good to see him, and also Councilman Neil appeared, I think, the next day doing a tour. Since that time...
I was leading the engineer around. That wasn't the tour.
it was a walk around.
Yeah.
And you met with residents, and we appreciate mm-hmm. that very much.
Sure.
I just wanted to add all the comments that have already been made, that on the Rogers Ave side of the marina, there is a problem in that Rogers Ave is within 7 feet of being cut off, Rogers Ave being town borough property. So my concern is, since I live near that section is that that's a part of the bulkhead that's been pushed out, but not it's not been breached. And I don't know, Mr. Lubner, if you've seen that.
I have seen that.
Okay, the push out. The sinkhole is getting worse. And okay. I have some photographs to show that. I'll submit them to you. And I've also written to Mayor Nolan about this directly with a photograph.
Okay.
In particular, the point being that I hope the borough is aware of this, that there's no yellow tape there. There are only some barriers to prevent vehicles from going into Rogers Ave. But there's no yellow tape there. It's wide and it's deep. It's about 8 feet wide and it's about, I'm guesstimating, 25 feet long. And it's deep. It's about 2.5, I think, or three feet deep in some spots. It's one heck of a hole.
Okay.
And with all this rain, it's growing. The nearest breach where the road is level, it's a foot drop. You know, you walk, you're on the road, and then it's a foot drop.
Okay, so it's gotten worse since I was there.
Yes, that's
okay.
The point. That's the
okay.
Point. So,
we'll barricade it tomorrow.
We'll get some tape.
Can you pass the pictures up? I would like to see them.
Fred, do you see anything? You putting anything in there or something?
I have discussed with Brian. I would put some of our sand in there, which wouldn't interfere at all with our
okay.
I'd rather do it by putting a nice sound system.
Okay, very good. I was hoping to hear that.
If that's
yeah, sure. You have some sand you'll
yeah,
handle that soon?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Brian.
Anybody else have anything? Miss Braswell?
I didn't
see your name
sign
on the paper.
I didn't sign it because I thought I was going to read the committee report.
So okay, you can. Yeah, sure. That's all right.
It's a long report, but in light of the ceremony on Sunday, if you want me to just read that part or my whole report.
Read whatever you feel like. You came with it, so it's this is a rarity, so you might as well read it.
The HDP Marketing and Events Committee was very busy soliciting sponsors and planning the 9/11 Memorial Service in conjunction with the Memorial Project. The ceremony will begin on Sunday, September 11th at 4:30 p.m. Memorial Project President and artist Steve Shaheen and committee members have been working very hard to complete the National Monument and Veterans Park. It will be a national monument because the 10-foot black granite stones have the names of all victims in the United States that were killed on 9/11. Highlands was the safe haven that day, and the ceremony will honor all local police, fire, first aid departments, the color guard, and local veterans will present the colors. The ceremony will conclude with the candlelight ceremony, cooperation from borough officials, and generous sponsors in excess of $350,000 include Kudos Construction, Reggie Avenue Illumination, the Highlands Business Partnership, the Inns of Ocean Grove, Clayton, Monte Calvo, Frank Rain, Sprinkle and Master, J.F. Kiley Construction Company, Eastern Civil Engineering, Leon's Crane Service, MP Engineers. And that's, we hope to see everybody at the ceremony.
Please what? Confirm the time.
Time and a date?
4:30.
Why are we talking about 6 o'clock?
O'clock ends in the evening candlelight.
I'm sorry?
The
4:30 to 6.
The ceremony with regarding like honoring the police, fire, first aid, the color guard, the presentation of the colors, the bagpiper, trumpet, the earlier part of the ceremony is 4:30. The victims that are coming over via C Street and the families that for the memorial project probably won't be arriving until 5:20, 5:30, up till 6 o'clock. That's going to tie into the candlelight portion of the ceremony. The Boy Scouts are going to be manning a coffee station for us, and we're going to be giving out tea lights. And then we recently just found out yesterday that we're going to have a very low-key band ending with God Bless America for the later portion of the ceremony okay. for those people. So 4:30, everybody should be there.
Okay.
You know, and I just wanted to acknowledge all the people that really have contributed so much. And then on Sunday, September 25th, is the 10th annual Twin Lights Drive. We're soliciting volunteers. The Police Explorers have graciously donated to volunteer to help us park the cars. We're expecting 2,000 cyclists in light of the 10th anniversary. We've been helping the Police Explorers under Police Officer Root's leadership to assist them in fundraising initiatives for educational programs and new equipment. So they're going to be volunteering. Their presence was greatly appreciated at the Clam Fest, so we commend them for that. The 11th annual Oktoberfest, sitting volunteers, Mayor Councilman O'Neill, of course. He's a hand for the 11th annual Oktoberfest. That's on Saturday, October 1st from 2 to 10 p.m. And the rain date is October 2nd. The Clam Fest report. Go back to the Clam Fest. In light of losing the Rhymes, Clam Fest was still a great success. We'd like to also acknowledge the mayor, council, borough officials, the Highlands Police Department, Fire Department, DPW, the fire police, the administration for their outstanding cooperation. Dave Parker and Charlie Wells for the lighting and public safety. The Clam Festival was covered in 7 newspapers on the Rat Radio and on Comcast Newsmakers. The total income was $39,030. Total expenses were $31,336. So we'd like to thank you all for your volunteer work and for your cooperation. Finally, the Visual Improvement Committee, the irrigation was completed at Miller Terrace. And we're waiting for confirmation from Mr. Hill for the meter before we come plant Miller Terrace. And we'll be purchasing new sod for the Veterans Park as soon as everything dries up. And we're trying to finish the new Wayfair signs. The Economic Development Committee made a presentation before the Planning Board for the new zoning recommendations, and we're pending approval. Thank you.
Are you going to have sod put down the park before the meeting?
We're meeting daily on that. We're really trying hard, but they won't.
I'm just asking.
Well, we were supposed to.
This is going to be a mess without anything down there. It's going to be a mess.
They're going to put a green rug down.
We're going to call the thing I would like to ask you now, since I have the opportunity to speak, if there's any way, Mr. Hill, I don't know if Middletown still has mulch, because Brookfield won't cut sod in the very heavy rain and clay that's been donated is really sinking, so it's very hard for us to work there. So we were thinking if we just had mulch and then Frank Rain would put that material, that lining under the mulch, which we can get and not hug, just for the ceremony and then until things dry up. Because people are going to be walking up to the 10-foot granite stones wanting to look at all the names, and they're going to be standing in the mud. So if you can just find out first thing in the morning about if Middletown has any more mulch, and if you can authorize public works, so please get it for us, because obviously we're going to need truckloads. And, that would really be helpful. Otherwise, we have to scramble for something else. So we just can't leave it like that. The staging ceremony, the ceremonial portion of the event, is going to be on the boardwalk, so people won't be able to be up there, the visitors and the
spectators. There's some holes down there you're going to have to fix. Some were washed out by the bulkhead. You're going to have to fill them holes.
I was just wondering, like, all the debris under the boardwalk and stuff from the storm, and if there's any opportunity if public works or anybody's going to be cleaning that out.
No, I don't see that happening.
Okay.
You know, we're trying to get from the flood issue.
Emergencies. I
but to me, you'll have the guys go down and fill the holes. I know they washed out by the Cottrell end of the park. We'll have to close that up.
Get a little bit of landscaping done just to clean it up. If we can get it cleaned out, would we be able to have the borough pick up the debris?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. People that live down on Shore Drive are sorry about the pile. That's the only place we could do it with the debris and everything. We'll get that cleaned up as soon as we can and get it shaped up so you don't have to look at that anymore. We did that at two ends of the town just to...
Is he chipping any of that stuff?
Yeah,
he's supposed to come tomorrow or Friday.
We understand that your property is on this.
No, but it is in your line of sight, and it's, you know, it just...
I'd rather look at that than the back.
Oh, boy, you're between a rock and a real hard place, aren't you? Yes, Fred?
Rick, I know a tree guy who I think has a real oversupply of tree chips, and he's local if you can't get
Well, we might have some tomorrow, to tell you the truth. But the only thing with that is they'll have a lot of leaf in it. I don't know. We'll ask the guy.
Well, if leaf. It's, I think if it's usable. Anything, they'll
anything
take.
That's sticky. stay in the line.
Okay.
Let me know
we
if you
that.
Need to make a call.
Okay. Anybody else have anything to ask? I just want to say on behalf of the town, Dave Parker as the OEM chief, Frank as the mayor, Joe Blewett as the police chief, Pete Lynch as the fire chief had this town held tight. Okay, you guys were in good hands. I'm telling you that. Everybody responded to like they were supposed to do, and things worked out well. It didn't hit as hard. We all know that, thank God. But if it did, I think we probably would have been prepared for it. And it was good. I'm glad to have been a citizen of this town this weekend through this. As I know all you guys are.
You should know that the Christie's at Monmouth County did the best job of the model for the
He meant Highlands.
He meant Highlands.
Okay. With that, I'll move to adjourn. Anybody have anything else?
Mr. Francis, all in favor?
When is Mike coming in?
Kevin, come here.
Mike,
what this is...
I'm here tomorrow.